Howdy, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Texas. As always, I'm your host, Jeremy Kitchen. If you were hoping for a respite from Texas politics once the 87th legislative session concluded, you're likely pretty disappointed. Today, we're going to discuss the growing Texas Republican primary election field, the border security summit that took place in Del Rio, Texas last week, and the remaining legislative priorities awaiting Governor Abbott's consideration. Buckle up for your preview of the week ahead in Texas politics. The 87th legislative session concluded just 2 weeks ago, and already we have a growing Republican primary election field. As we discussed last week, the current land commissioner, George P. Bush, had previously announced his challenge to the current attorney general, Ken Paxton. It's rumored that at least one more candidate will get in that race as well. Texas Supreme Court Justice Eva Guzman resigned from the Texas Supreme Court last week, and it's widely assumed by many Capitol insiders that she's interested in the attorney general's race. She was appointed to the Supreme Court by former Texas Governor Rick Perry in 2009. Of course, George P. Bush's run for attorney general also creates a domino effect and opens up the land commissioner position, where there are already three candidates whom have announced. In that race, you currently have Weston Martinez, a Republican businessman and activist from San Antonio, State Senator Don Buckingham, a Republican from Lakeway, and Dr. John Spires, who announced his candidacy last week. He was a former candidate in the U.S. Congressional District 2 field last election cycle. With State Senator Don Buckingham running for land commissioner, it now opens up her state Senate seat for Senate District 24, which stretches from Abilene to Temple to Kerrville. Former Austin City Councilwoman Ellen Troxclair announced her candidacy last week for the seat, where she also very quickly announced several key endorsements and notable fundraising efforts, likely to deter any would-be challengers who thus far have not manifested. Notably, State Representative James White, a Republican from Hillister and representative of House District 19, announced Friday last week that he would not seek re-election. He did say he was interested in statewide office, however, but stopped short of giving any details on which office specifically. He currently represents a fairly rural East Texas district located just north of Beaumont and south of Lufkin. He has served in the Texas House of Representatives for six legislative sessions after first being elected in November of 2010. It's likely he will make his electoral intentions known in the next few weeks, but he had indicated previously that he's focused on the would-be impending special legislative sessions. Quickly on that subject, there are no real updates. It's widely assumed that here shortly, Governor Abbott will make his intention known with regard to specific dates the special sessions will actually take place and what specifically will be on the call. Notably, on Friday, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick announced a committee chairman shuffle, if you will, of four specific committees in preparation for the special session that's likely or at least rumored to take place mid-July to mid-August. Senator Buckingham was formerly the chairman of the Senate Nominations Committee, but because she's now running for statewide office, she's been replaced by State Senator Donna Campbell, a Republican from New Braunfels, who in herself was formerly the Senate Veterans and Border Security Committee chairman. That chairman is now State Senator Kelly Hancock, a Republican from North Richland Hills, who was previously the chairman of the Senate Business and Commerce Committee. That committee is now chaired by State Senator Charles Schwertner, a Republican from Georgetown, who himself was also previously a chairman, the chairman of the Senate Administration Committee. That committee is now chaired by State Senator Bob Hall, Republican from Edgewood. Lastly, Patrick announced that he was expanding the jurisdiction of the Senate Jurisprudence Committee to include pension and insurance issues. That committee is currently chaired by State Senator Joan Huffman, a Republican from Houston. Last week, Texas Governor Greg Abbott hosted a border security summit in Del Rio, Texas. The governor's border security summit brought together Texas sheriffs, police chiefs, county judges, mayors, district attorneys, and landowners to hear from state officials on the actions that the state of Texas is taking to secure the southern border and address the ongoing humanitarian crisis. During the summit, the governor held private sessions with stakeholders to discuss collaborative strategies between state government, local, city, and county officials, law enforcement, and landowners to secure our border communities. At the conclusion of the summit, Abbott gave an address where he announced a border security plan. He announced that individuals who enter Texas illegally will be subject to arrest and confinement for trespassing. This order builds upon an already existing governor disaster declaration that directs the Texas Department of Public Safety to enforce all federal and state criminal laws for criminal trespassing, illegal entry, smuggling, and human trafficking. The declaration also directed the Texas Commission on Jail Standards and the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement to work with counties included in the declaration to establish alternative detention facilities to ensure that there's enough jail capacity for illegal immigrants who are arrested for criminal activities, such as trespassing. The state is surging resources into border communities to make arrests and help set up and maintain extra jail space. Governor Abbott also announced the governor's task force on border and homeland security. This task force will analyze and advise on strategies to stem the flow of unlawful immigrants and illegal contraband into Texas and the United States. The governor's task force will meet biweekly to discuss current events concerning our southern border, including illegal immigration and criminal activity, and make recommendations based on the strategies and personnel that are needed to address the ongoing crisis. The task force will consist of representatives from the Office of the Governor, Office of the Attorney General of Texas, the Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas Division of Emergency Management, the Texas Military Department, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, the Texas Commission on Jail Standards, and others. Additionally, the governor declared that the state of Texas and the state of Arizona will invoke the Emergency Management Assistance Compact. Under this interstate compact, Governor Abbott and Arizona Governor Doug Ducey are asking that other states help send law enforcement officials to assist in making arrests and jailing. Governor Abbott and Governor Ducey are also seeking resources such as drones, helicopters, to help landowners who are dealing with the damage to their property. Governor Abbott addressed landowners, ranchers, and farmers from border communities who have suffered damage to their property as well as a result of the surge in illegal immigration. He offered that the task force will work with them on ways to recover their damages from the federal government. Abbott also noted his intent to sign the state budget, or Senate Bill 1, specifically the portion that appropriates more than $1 billion to increase border security. The governor also announced that the state of Texas will be taking, quote, decisive action to expand the border barrier. More details will be provided this week as to a plan to supposedly build or finish the Texas border wall. It cannot go without noting, however, that this issue was not an emergency legislative priority of Abbott's during the 87th legislative session that just concluded. In fact, bills that would have done some of the things that he announced largely were not even considered. State Senator Bob Hall had a bill that would have authorized the Texas governor to coordinate and develop an interstate compact for joint action on border security and enforce federal regulations. It passed the Texas Senate on party-line vote, but ultimately died in the Texas House of Representatives. State Representative Brian Slayton, a Republican from Roy City, had a bill that would have created the framework for the funding of border security enhancements, including a wall on the Texas-Mexico border. It would have required that the governor obtain reimbursement from the federal government for all of those expenses. It never even got a public hearing in the Texas House of Representatives. It's no secret that the situation at the border has in fact gotten worse. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton said as much in a recent meeting with local law enforcement officials in Laredo, Texas. In fact, Texas Scorecard's publisher Michael Quinn Sullivan and managing editor Brandon Waltons recently made a trip to the border to see it all firsthand. You can find out more about their trip and their firsthand experience in the article on our website, texasscorecard.com, or linked in today's show notes page. It's unclear as to what exactly the announced ramp-up efforts will look like on the ground and whether local officials will be true partners in those efforts. It's also unclear as to whether the federal government will follow through with any of the potential reimbursements of landowners or whether any additional states will join the newly found interstate compact. Many activists have speculated that the motivation for such a sudden effort to secure the border is likely because Abbott himself has two already announced Republican primary challengers, and it's widely rumored that at least one more will join the fray in the coming weeks. I'll let you draw your own conclusion here, but it is notable that even with the Biden administration assuming office January 20th, this just became a larger priority, specifically a larger priority border security effort, only after the legislature had concluded its business on May 31st. Switching gears here, Governor Abbott has until next Sunday, June 20th, to sign or veto bills that were passed during the 87th legislative session. He's already signed several, of course, but there are still some notable bills awaiting his consideration. Some of these include his own legislative priorities. It's widely expected that he'll sign House Bill 5, or the bill that attempts to set up the regulatory framework for broadband expansion to rural and underserved areas of the state. It's also likely he will sign Senate Bill 6, which sets out business liability protections from frivolous lawsuits related to the pandemic, like that of COVID-19. He's yet to sign the overall draft state budget for the next biennium, Senate Bill 1. With respect to his powers, he can choose to line item veto various appropriations in the overall budget without vetoing the whole bill. At his Board of Security summit last week, as we talked about, he mentioned his support for the over $1 billion that was allocated for border security efforts. Also of interest is Article 10 of the overall budget. This is the section that specifically deals with the legislature. Abbott had expressed via Twitter 2 weeks back his frustration with two of his emergency priorities dying, like election integrity and bail reform, and had already indicated that those would be added to a special session in short order. He tweeted a veiled threat, if you will, of defunding the legislature in retaliation for his emergency priorities dying, though it's unclear as to what that specifically means, if anything. This threat caused many to express concern with what they considered largely to be a separation of powers issue altogether. Other priorities still awaiting his consideration include that of the Star-Spangled Banner Protection Act, or Senate Bill 4, oil and gas investment protections in Senate Bill 13, Phase 1 of the Texas Consumer Privacy Act, several Second Amendment protection bills to include House Bill 1927 or constitutional carry, the First Responders Pandemic Care Act, or Senate Bill 22, religious freedom protection bills, the Omnibus Telemedicine Telehealth Bill, House Bill 4, healthcare priorities of Speaker Phelan's, like expanding Medicaid eligibility for postpartum mothers in House Bill 133, criminal justice reform bills, like removing arbitrary barriers to probation or eliminating financial barriers to reentry from prison. Needless to say, expect a flurry of bills to be considered this week. You can stay up to date on those and more by checking out my spreadsheet summary that I update daily, linked in today's show notes page. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Join us again next Monday for yet another update. In the meantime, if you're interested in some in-depth summaries on specific legislative issues, make sure to check out our website, texasscorecard.com, where we've already debuted a growing list of what we call autopsy reports in the hopes of providing detailed summaries of key legislative priorities of the overall 87th legislative session. As always, if you want up-to-the-minute updates, make sure to follow me on Twitter or Facebook by searching for the handle @opinionatedk. I'll see y'all next week. Y'all take care.